It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
My issue with Islam, well, all you got to do is read the Quran. And most Americans haven't.
Brendan House, an author and radio broadcaster, goes around the country trying to teach Americans about Islam and the Quran and the threat he believes the religion and its holy book poses to America.
Because if you read it for yourself, you'll see what the issues are. The disrespect for women, the disrespect for the Jewish people, the disrespect for Christians, the disrespect for freedom of speech.
And that's the case House has been making for years. But increasingly, his message is being considered too controversial to even book gigs like this one at the Holiday Inn Airport Conference Center in Des Moines. House told the audience tonight that a lot of hotels won't let him use their facilities, and that he just found out the Radisson in Green Bay canceled the contract it had with him for a conference there on Saturday.
I'm here tonight to remind this organization that they're not welcome and their message is not welcome here in Iowa.
Protesters like Glenn Hurst say the speakers at the conference don't know what they're talking about.
It's a twisting of the data. It would be like somebody with no background in Christianity reading the Bible and trying to present it to everybody else that has no background in it as to what it actually means.
John Guandolo, president of Understanding the Threat, spoke to the crowd about terms like Sharia and Jihad and how he says they're dangerous. But local Muslim leader Akeo Abdul Samad says the meaning of those words can be interpreted in different ways and have been misunderstood by many.
The jihad that we talk about in the Quran, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, said very clearly that the jihad is the jihad of nafs, which means the jihad of self. Your jihad is within you, and every religion has a jihad.
That's absolutely not true. In Islam, there's only one legal definition for jihad, and that's warfare against non-Muslims.
Mike DeSilva, Channel 13 News.
All right, that was WHO in Des Moines, Iowa, and he's referring to one of four events that were scheduled for the weekend, or at least in the last few weeks, put on by Worldview Weekend to address the issue of Islam and other issues like that. And of course, what happened was Antifa and the SPLC got involved, threatened violence, and most of them were canceled. You heard the voice on that of John Guandolo, who is the founder and president of Understanding the Threat. John is a person I've known for a long time. He's a former FBI agent. He's the one who wrote the initial government training about the Muslim Brotherhood after the Holy Land Foundation trial. And he spends his time going around the country training police, and even for some former FBI or maybe current FBI who trained at Quantico and still themselves do not know the threat of Islam. John joins us today. He was going to be involved in these Worldview Weekend events. And I've asked him to join us to tell us what happened. John, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. And John, okay, you heard the comments on that that Iowa radio station. I'd just like to give you a chance to just give brief responses, as you would.
Well, I put together a 29-minute video to respond to a 14-minute interview that state legislator from Iowa, who's a jihadi, a Sharia adherent Muslim, Akeo Abdul Samad, the gentleman in the audio who was saying, you know, jihad's a bettering of oneself. He's lying, and he knows he's lying. And I walked through his entire raw interview, which oddly enough, WHO put on their website, but did not put my raw interview up on the website, and yet I answered their questions. And also, the gentleman speaking sat in the room when I told him, if you can demonstrate anything I say about Sharia is incorrect factually, I'll stop publishing it, saying it, and we'll give the person who brings it to our attention $1,000. That's a standing offer we have. And he walked out of the room and smiled and shook my hand, said, thank you, thank you. And the course never claimed his $1,000 because he knows that I'm hitting pay dirt, which is why the SPLC and Antifa has been sicked on us, you know, because of the fact. What I'm doing is zeroing in on the truth, and they don't like it.
Bottom line, what exactly, what was canceled and what was not canceled?
So this was a five-day, five-city tour. Des Moines, Iowa, La Crosse, Wisconsin, Green Bay, Wisconsin, Bloomington, Minnesota, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We had 1,500 people registered in Milwaukee. We had about 1,000 registered in Minnesota. The smallest event was the first night, Thursday, April 5th, which was Des Moines. And that was only a couple hundred people. And we did that event. And everyone in the room thought the information was tremendous. I actually got dozens of people commenting. They said, you handled the Marxists in the room really well. And they said, you were very kind. And it changed the demeanor because they were trying to be nasty. And I was being tremendously kind to them because I don't, you know, that's just the nature of who I am. And, you know, but they still throw these ad hominem attacks about what a mean guy I am. So that night, we got a cancellation from Green Bay, and the next morning Milwaukee canceled because Wednesday night, the Southern Poverty Law Center put out a call for people to take action. And their surrogates at Antifa, the terrorist group Antifa, made calls to these venues and, you know, intimidated them and threatened them. You know, when Antifa calls and says, hey, if you don't shut this thing down, we're going to show up. Hotel owners and managers understand that when Antifa shows up, people get hurt and things get set on fire and property gets destroyed. So I think what the hotel managers and owners did, first of all, they breached their contract with Worldview Weekend, but that's not for me to deal with. I was a guest of them on this tour. The reality is that that was shut down. So we only did the one of the five events.
Andolo, who will join us again in a minute, but also with us today is Jim Simpson. Jim is an economist, an author. He's an investigative journalist who has spent years really studying the cooperation between the left and the Islamists and others and how they work together to undermine Western civilization. His last book, by the way, is Red Green Axis, Refugees, Immigration, and the Agenda to Erase America. Jim's been writing about the Red-Green Axis for a long time. He just wrote an article, by the way, in the Daily Caller, which is what brought my attention to this whole thing about the Worldview Weekends being canceled. Jim, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Sandy.
Now you followed this a lot, and you researched it as you always do. John was just talking about this event in Iowa, Des Moines, which went on. And it had a very small group, but it went on, and he got some opposition. There was, people showed up to protest at that event, didn't they?
Well, they did, but they were told in advance that no funny business would be tolerated. So they had a forewarning. They had to behave themselves or they were going to be thrown out. So basically, they did everything they could right up to the point of being thrown out without getting thrown out, except for one guy who did get thrown out anyway.
Now, that was we need to talk about him because this is just interesting. The kinds of people that are participating in the protests and the shutdown, they're the usual suspects. The one that I'm referring to now is Jack Gunnar Schuler, who was a local high school teacher in Des Moines. Can you tell us about what happened with him at that event?
Yeah, he was walking around the event and he took numerous pictures, over 23 pictures of the event attendees, and posted them on his website. And I mean, he went row to row and took pictures of every person in that event, and then he posted it on our website. And what they do, this is another Antifa intimidation tactic. They put these people's faces up there. And some people come in and color in, you know, swastikas or stupid smiles or other, you know, demeaning ways of altering the photographs. But the most important thing is that these people are there, are on Facebook, and they can be identified by these Antifa types, who then can threaten them personally. They can go to their employers and tell them, were you aware your employee was a anti-Muslim or that kind of thing. They use it in very intimidating ways. And I've been to many of these conferences where you watch people walk around with the ubiquitous cell phone filming everybody and everything, or taking pictures of everybody and everything. And it's all deliberately meant to be, it's an intimidation tactic. And he did a lot of that. And then he walked up to John Guandolo and told him, he swore at him, he used the F-bomb, and said, you're a disgrace to the Corps, you're a disgrace to the uniform. And that was when the two police officers, who were very, according to all accounts, very, polite, but firm, and they escorted him right out.
You know, I don't think when I introduced John, I said that he was a combat veteran with the Marines, so thus the slur. And this guy, Jack Gunnar Schuller, the local high school teacher who attended there, he is not just acting, at least in cooperation with Antifa and SPLC, he's also a transgender activist. I just think that's interesting. So it's kind of a convergence of all kinds of opposition to the Christian worldview, I guess we could say that, every kind of way.
Absolutely. He's the poster child for that kind of convergence. He himself is actually a woman who was born Elise, and I could not find no evidence that he actually underwent sex change operation. He may have, but he was written up in the Des Moines Register, the newspaper of record. He's treated like he's a hero because he's a transgender activist. And for everybody who's listening and concerned rightly about our education system, if his quote coming out party in April of 2016, he held that at the school after school and invited students to come, many of whom did.
Other two people that were mentioned in your article, and also that John alluded to, one of them was the chapter president for the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, Ashbir Omar, and the state rep, that's who John mentioned, Ako Abdul Samad. What do we know about them?
Well, Abshir is an interesting guy. He's not only, or he was, the state chapter president for CARE. He was also a city council candidate in 2016. He lost the election, but CARE backed him all the way. And I'm not sure if CARE is even able to do that with their 501c3 status. But anyway, he was backed by CARE. And he's also, interestingly enough, a prominent and very, unabashed member of Democratic Socialists of America, which is an extreme left organization that came out of the Chinese Communist, the Maoist Communist Party in the United States.
Jim, hold on just one second. We have to take a break. But we're talking about these Worldview Weekend events that were shut down, five of them, four successfully, this past weekend. We haven't even gotten to how exactly they did it. We've hinted at it. It's the SPLC, Antifa, and just a convergence of groups who oppose, really, the Christian worldview. They do. And they were very successful. We want to talk about that more when we return. Jim Simpson is my guest. By the way, his article from the Daily Caller, we'll put on our Facebook page so that you can read it. And John Guandolo will join us again, Understanding the Threat, shortly. So stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
I wanted to share with you today this special video announcement that I'm actually recording from the state of Minnesota.
I've been here the last few days for some speaking engagements, and we were scheduled to have some other speaking engagements with Worldview Weekend, Brandon House's ministry, along also with Understanding the Threats, John Guandolo and Chris Gobetz. Our ministry, the Truth and Love Project, was supposed to be speaking in several cities along with them, and we were shut down. Who shut us down, folks? The Islamo-Marxist fascist oppressors in this nation. The same groups that we've been warning you about, the same groups that we've been trying to travel around this nation and warn you about, shut us down. How did that happen? Started with CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, the Front Group for the Muslim Brotherhood. Then they've joined with the Southern Poverty Law Center, the SPLC. They started putting on their website within the last 48 hours to put calls into the venues and the hotels that we were going to be speaking, to get us shut down, to say we're going to protest, to potentially even hint at violence. Then they got Antifa involved. Antifa started getting their folks to call in and put pressure. And we know what Antifa does, right? We know their MO. They're domestic terrorists. And so because of this, in the last 48 hours, we got word that the event in Green Bay, Worldview Weekend's event in Green Bay, was canceled. The hotel pulled out within less than 36 hours. Then the hotel in Milwaukee canceled on us, a hotel where Brandon's been meeting for years. Then the city of Onalaska, where they were going to be meeting in La Crosse, canceled.
All right, that's the voice of Sharam Hadrian, who was scheduled to speak. You heard him say that. He is the founder of the Truth Love Project, a former Muslim himself who was planning to speak, so he at least got in that little short clip. Jim Simpson is my guest. We're talking about these five events that were targeted by a combination of the SPLC and Antifa. Jim, tell us a little bit more about Sharam, and how in the world did the SPLC cooperate with this? What was their part in stopping these things?
Well, it's very interesting. The SPLC joined with the Council on Islamic Relations and a number of quote-unquote faith leaders in a meeting in Washington State in January, where they outlined, and it was the event was called Faith Over Fear. And the idea was to engage quote-unquote faith leaders in the effort to identify anti-Muslim bigotry, Islamophobes, and to denounce those people. And, you know, you and I know well about these various faith leaders who really aren't faith leaders at all. And the most ironic thing about it is, if you can imagine, the stridently anti-Christian, atheist Southern Poverty Law Center joining with faith leaders to do anything at all. So that right there should be a red flag as to what they're up to. But the CARE wants to maintain a low profile. They are using, for example, increasingly they're using young, attractive women as spokespeople for their cause, and they basically soft pedal Islam, they soft pedal Sharia. And if you watch the clip from WHO in Des Moines, the Muslim that John Guandolo referred to, who talked about jihad being the jihad of self, very soft-spoken, very congenial, and that's their MO. That's how they have now taken to trying to cultivate this image as a civil rights social welfare organization, when we all know that they are the public relations arm of Hamas, the Palestinian terrorist group, and a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. But they join with these people, and then they sink into the background and let the Southern Poverty Law Center come out and use its broad platform, which most of the mass media picks up on, to announce events like these to the world. And that's what the Southern Poverty Law Center did. And then the Antifa groups, who I'm sure have the Southern Poverty Law Center and their Facebook, and they probably get their alerts through email or whatever text or whatever methods they do, and they're immediately informed about what they need to do, and then they take it from there. And so a lot of the people who were calling, making the calls to the various hotels were Antifa and other left-wing groups. It wasn't limited to Antifa, but it was a bunch of extreme left-wing groups. And then, of course, they are joined by extreme left journalists who add their two cents to the whole thing. So it's really a very broad-based effort to discredit anybody who is willing to tell the truth, and a very strong effort to intimidate. And the overall goal is to destroy the First Amendment, deny us our First Amendment rights, and with enough intimidation and enough money given to Congress, they hope to be able to enact hate crimes laws that will make it a criminal offense for any of us to speak about anything, just like they're doing, they have done in Europe and in Canada.
They're making good progress on that. Now, you know, I have personal experience with this, as you know, Jim.
Yes.
Well, let me just say that John Guandolo, who is already listed, now speaking of the SPLC, he's on their list of anti-Muslim extremists, and I'm on that list. I'm on the list of, they call us Women Against Islam, and it's 12 of us. It's like Brigitte Gabrielle and Laura Ingram, and I don't know, it's just Judge Jeanine, and you know, you go on. So then they target you, and they call you a hater, and of course, they even, in our case, the women, they printed our likeness and gave the city of our residence, and it was sort of like a fatwa. So we know the SPLC cooperating with the radical, well, with CARE, when I think CARE is radical. They are civilization jihadists.
Absolutely.
You know, they're not exactly writing, I don't suppose they're saying publicly, go and, you know, behead or kill those people. But they are at that stage before, threaten and shut them down and make sure that they just shut up. And then Antifa jumps in, and they're the violent ones. It's really kind of a perfect storm, isn't it?
It certainly is. And it's a coordinated and carefully mapped out strategy that it just didn't pop up spontaneously. These people have been calculating this and planning this and building on it for a very long time.
You've been talking about
dangerous
this.
Dangerous to our very survival as a nation.
Absolutely.
There's no better way to put it. I mean, that's really where it's at.
Jim, you've been writing about the red-green axis for a long time, and I think you even have to explain that title, and I'm going to let you do that instead of me. First of all, what is that? And trace it back to its origins, if you could.
Okay. Well, the red-green axis refers to the Reds as the communists, the socialists, the far left in this country, and the green refers to the Islamists. You know, green is a very prominent color in Islamic tradition for a whole bunch of reasons. I won't waste your time talking about. But the axis is the collaboration, the long-standing collaboration between the Islamists and the left. And that goes back to, well, actually, it goes right back to Lenin, where Lenin actually cultivated relationships with Muslim leaders in the Soviet Union after they took power, unlike the way he treated Catholic priests and Christian and Orthodox leaders who he mass murdered with abandon. The Islamists didn't entirely escape that genocide, but many of them were cultivated and actually turned into covert communists. And because the Islamic world is so large and the Islamic base can be so easily radicalized. Now, of course, during World War II, the Islamists allied with the Axis powers. But then after World War II ended, the Axis was no more, and they went right back to the Soviets. And the Soviets, the KGB, well, the KGB, for example, created the Palestine Liberation Organization. That was a project of the Soviet KGB. Yasser Arafat, the first PLO leader, was a hardcore communist. He was not a Muslim in the traditional sense of the word. He was an atheist and a hardcore communist. And virtually all of the Islamic terrorist groups that came out post-war were funded, armed, trained, and guided by the Soviet Union. So there's nothing new here. And in the United States, they have joined with their natural allies in the radical left. And I would argue that the radical left is connected by ball and chain to the international communist movement, which is still very strong despite the so-called fall of the Soviet Union in 1991.
You're listening to Phil. You're listening to James Simpson, and Jim, of course, is an author and an investigative reporter. And we're talking about, in part, about his book Red Green Axis, which we'll put a link to that on our Facebook page, plus a link to his story about these Worldview Weekend conferences that were shut down by threats and intimidation by a combination of the Southern Poverty Law Center and Antifa. We'll put his Daily Caller piece on our Facebook page so that you can read it. You know what, Jim, in terms of what's happening in this country, you and Phil Haney experienced some cancellations not that very long ago also, didn't you?
Yes, we did. We experienced a more under-the-counter form of the same thing. We were scheduled to speak at a number of locations in South Dakota, and one of them was successfully canceled by the activities of a person by the name of Tamiza Islam. And she's one of these young Muslim women who are very soft-spoken, but she was CARE Minnesota's head of, I believe, social outreach prior to moving to South Dakota. And she is an extreme radical on the Linda Sarsour, cut in the Linda Sarsour mold. And she contacted a venue in Sioux Falls and told them that they didn't want to have us because we were a bunch of racists and Islamophobes and white supremacists and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And this organization in Sioux Falls, is becoming increasingly self-conscious about their interaction with Muslims, because there's a large and growing population of Somali Muslims there to work at the meatpacking plants. And so they're becoming very conscious about that and very worried about that and very intimidated about it. So they immediately shut down that event. That was a week before we got there. There was another event put on by someone in Aberdeen, and they stuck their noses up at them and said, forget it. They tried to also shut down an event that we did hold in Illinois, where I don't know who the people who called were, but they called the organizer, they called the location where the event was to be held, and they even called the organizer's employer, threatening all three of them. And they all stood up. But by the same token, they are all intimidated. So next time they might not be so brave. You know, it's the kind of thing that's happening all over the country. And our congressional leadership is completely AWOL on this. In fact, if anything, they're helping the other side, and that includes Republicans. And I believe the Trump administration, you know, they're learning as they go. And as they discover new things, they take steps to try to stop it. But they've got a lot of stuff to learn. There are a lot of things going on, and it doesn't always get onto their...
At this point, there are a lot of camels' noses under the tent. No question about it. It's going to take something radical to stop this. My guest is James Simpson. Coming back, we're going to be joined by John Guandolo, again, former FBI agent of Understanding the Threat. So stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. And before I forget it, let me just say thank you so much, as always, for your generosity on Geraton. This week, what could we do without you? And you always step up to the plate, and your generosity is just overwhelming. So thanks to each and every one of you who picked up the phone and gave of your money to help us stay on the air. And by the way, if you didn't get around to it, I know how some people don't get around to these things. You can still do that by calling 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396, or you can give online at afr.net. That's afr.net. All right. Well, John Guandolo is back with us. And John, of course, was one of the main speakers at these Worldview Weekend conferences that were canceled, at least most of them, except for one. And John, of course, is the founder and president of Understanding the Threat, former FBI agent, former combat Marine. He's got a great resume, and he has spent really the latter part of his career trying to train law enforcement and anyone who'll listen about the real threat of Islam. John, I'm curious about something. You know, we are not hearing about radical Islam in the news as much because it seems that we've had pretty good success overseas, you know, shutting down the Islamists. But are you saying, how would you assess the strength of the radical Islamic movement here in this country right now? How would you assess it? Are they making inroads, or is this just a fluke?
I think they have gained momentum. They have not really stopped gaining momentum. And I think it's the curve is exponentially going up and has been for a number of years. And I would just say to point to our overseas, this is what happens when you have an incoherent approach to an enemy and you don't name the threat and you don't create, because you can't if you don't name the threat, a coherent strategy. Just for your listening audience, think about it this way. We removed the leadership by killing them in Iraq and Libya, Muammar Gaddafi being the guy who was killing more al-Qaeda fighters than anyone else, by the way. And we remove Mubarak. Those three leaders had their heel on the head of the Muslim Brotherhood in those countries. And the United States, we were the ones that took them out. That was done because that was the Muslim Brotherhood's strategy. And they got us to do that. That's how this works. I mean, when the guy in the Pentagon, Richard Higgins, who was on President Trump's national security staff at the beginning of his presidency, when he was the head of the Combating Terrorism and Technical Support Office for the Pentagon in the Irregular Warfare Section. After he had left there and was in the private sector, he said on a national radio program that the Muslim Brotherhood controls the national security decision-making process at the national level, in the United States when it comes to these matters of Islam. Now, understanding the threat has publicly concurred with that statement, and that's what I'm talking about. They got us, our State Department, to write the constitutions for Iraq and Afghanistan, which created Islamic republics under Sharia. They got us to take out Saddam Hussein, to take out Muammar Gaddafi, and to bring down Mubarak. We did that. That's how this war works, and that's why I'm very concerned about these latest rounds of attacks in Syria, despite the fact we don't actually have any physical evidence that there was chemical weapons used. It certainly smells like that's where this is headed again. So we have a history since 9/11 from our intelligence apparatus of getting it wrong almost 100% of the time. We still have not identified the threat, and therefore we still don't have a coherent strategy for victory. And the enemy has gotten us to take out their enemies. And what's happened? I mean, there's nobody who would say the problem's gotten better since 9/11. Everyone will say it's gotten significantly worse. And that's the same here domestically. They're eating our lunch.
John, you and I both know that D.C. is in really bad trouble for the very reasons you just mentioned. But as you travel around the country and you do training, do you find that the American people are pretty savvy about this?
In growing numbers, yes. Who is the people that are not savvy about this are local and state police and FBI agents. Our response, for instance, to our three-day law enforcement training program is that 100% of the attendees, let's say we have 100 people in one of our three-day programs. That includes normally FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force people, local state law enforcement from many agencies, police agencies, jails, sheriff's offices. None of them. They will all, on day three, I ask, how many of you knew this before you came in here today? And the response is none of them. And yet they all say the information is critical to protecting the community. Yet when we go speak to civilian groups, oftentimes, you'll get 30 or 40% that do understand big chunks of this problem. So the citizens are actually better informed than their law enforcement. And that's why we are working so diligently to get law enforcement trained.
What do you see as the solution? I can't think of an answer you might give that would be short of drastic. But I would be curious to know that if you were king, if somebody anointed John Guandolo king, how you would turn this thing around.
Well, first of all, I'd actually use all the legal means at my disposal. And that would mean people that are committing sedition, I would arrest them and punish them to the fullest extent of the law, which means many of them I would execute. I would have them, to the fullest extent. Those people committing treason, I would do the same thing. So I'd start there. And I would start with the people supporting the Islamic movement in the Marxist movement, Democrat leadership at the national level, Republican leadership at the national level, and where there is evidence and probable cause, I would take the legal route on that. However, as many people who understand this threat have articulated, especially people who have been functional in previous senior positions in the DOJ, Department of Justice, have said, this war is not going to be won in courts. And so we have to take the gloves off and do everything, because the Constitution does not prevent us from protecting the Constitution. This is not a suicide pact, as has been quoted often. So we need to use all of the resources at our, that's there for us to use. Now, the problem is, as I just mentioned, our intelligence apparatus is broken and our counterintelligence apparatus. I don't think I need to make the argument that FBI leadership has demonstrated they can't be trusted, even though there are good agents in the ranks. Many or most of them are not aware of the threat and how the Marxist movement and the Islamic movement are working together. So that is why the solution, again, is at the local level. I encourage your listeners to truly don't worry about fixing the FBI and what's going on in Syria and Libya right now. Worry about what's going on in your neighborhood, in your city, in your county, and pay attention to the school board, pay attention to your chamber of commerce, your city or county council, pay attention to your police chief and your sheriff, civic leaders, and where there are Marxist organizations and leaders, and there are jihadi organizations and leaders, they need to be shut down, and they need to be, where legally possible, arrested. And there are laws that they are breaking. And what we do at Understand the Threat is we show the police, once you know what Sharia is, and once we show you how to identify the network, now all you need to do is create investigative strategies to go after them. And that's, we show them how to do that. So it's all lawful. And so you're putting bad guys in jail. But again, that's not all that needs to happen. Businesses need to start saying, we're not going to do business with you because we know who you are. You smile, you shake my hand, you pretend you like me, but the facts paint a very different picture. And so we're not going to do that. When pastors start doing that, when rabbis start doing that, when citizens start forcing their pastors and civic leaders to do that, well, then we're going to make some real headway, neighborhood by neighborhood, county by county, and state by state.
Okay, John Guandolo, Understanding the Threat, and it's understandingthethreat.com, right, John?
Correct.
So if people want to reach you, that's how they do it.
That is. I definitely encourage people. We're on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel, Understand the Threat, at Twitter, at UTT_USA. I'm at John Guandolo. And we have a Facebook, Understanding the Threat. But please use our resources on the website. We have DVDs and books. Encourage you to use them. But if you don't want to buy those, we have a lot of free resources on the website under the Resources tab. Please use them. Bring us in to do the three-day program for your law enforcement. We do church programs anywhere from 2 hours to 2 days, civic groups, all of that. We strongly encourage you to do this because we've got to start building very quickly many, many more people that understand the threat so we can start strategizing in your area for your particular state or county.
All right, John, thank you so much, and I appreciate your courage always and always, your great information, and God bless you in this dangerous work that you've chosen to do. Thank you, John Guandolo.
Thank you, Sandy, for all you're doing and spreading the truth. God bless you.
Well, I have a lot of friends with a lot of courage, and one of them is James Simpson, who's also with us. Jim's been waiting patiently. He and John work together to train people, and thank God for them. I've learned a lot from Jim through the years. You've heard me mention his name because he's the one who taught me about the manufacturer crisis, the Cloward Piven manufacturer crisis. Jim, do you remember that? I think that's when I first got acquainted with you.
That sure was back in 2008, I believe, maybe early 2009. Yeah. Yep.
Long time ago. We recently posted that again on our Facebook page. But back to this issue, you heard me ask John what he thought the solution to this was. Would you have anything to add to that?
Well, I agree with John to a certain extent on the local aspect of it. That's critical because, as they say, all politics is local. But the fact of the matter is, if we don't have a national leadership that is willing to set the stage, if you will, for this, the local folks won't have the backup. So, for example, during the Obama administration, any local government that tried to do any of this kind of thing literally faced threats from the Department of Justice in terms of the DOJ coming in and declaring a local community, violating civil rights laws by, for example, preventing a mosque from being built in an area where it was clearly violating local zoning standards. And the local community would fold every time because if they didn't, they faced multi-million dollar fines and all kinds of other investigations. So it's critical to have leadership at the top. I think a great place to start would be to declare the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization or a subversive organization. And a lot of these laws, as John said, are already on the books. These people can be prosecuted. But this stuff needs to be highlighted at the national level. President Trump could give a speech about it. Members of Congress could start standing up because, you know, power flows downhill. And if you have terrible leadership at the top, it's eventually going to percolate down to the local level, and they're going to be afraid to do the things that need to be done because they don't have the support where it's needed.
Yeah, very, very well said, Jim. I thank you so much. Jim, we're out of time.
Can I add one thing?
30 seconds, yes.
Yeah, I'm coming out with an article on the Southern Poverty Law Center at the Social Contract magazine. It should be out later this week or early next week, thesocialcontract.com. It's a critical article that describes and explains the hate speech type of tactics that they're using and where they came from.
Okay.
This is all communist origin.
Well, when you get that, we'll talk again, and we'll put it on our Facebook page. And by the way, we'll post Jim's article on these events that were canceled, just so that you can share it with your friends and have more information. Jim Simpson, thank you so much, Jim, and thank you all for listening, and stay strong out there. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.